August 28, 2004. This is a Veterans History Project oral history of Sergeant Alex A. Dravick. The mission of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress is to collect the memories, accounts, and documents of war veterans from World War I, World War II, and the Korean, Vietnam, and Persian Gulf Wars, and to preserve these stories of experience and service for future generations. In pursuit of that mission, the University of Toledo, in partnership with the Library of Congress and the Veterans History Project, has conducted more than 170 interviews of America's veterans. These taped histories are sent to the Library of Congress archive in Washington, D.C., and a copy is retained in a local archive at the Kennedy Center at the university. Conspicuously absent is an oral history of Ohio's Sergeant Alex A. Dravick. This was brought to our attention by Mrs. Carol Colbeth, who said that the hero of the Remagen Bridge should be in the Veterans History Project archive in Washington. This prompted a lengthy search for information about one of America's great war heroes. Sergeant Dravick died in 1993, but phone interviews were held with Messrs. John Nye, William Taransky, and Ed Hassan, fellow members with Sergeant Dravick of the VFW Remagen Bridge Post. Also, great-nephew Mr. Greg Dravick, Sergeant Dravick's daughter, Mrs. Rita Wilson of Canton, Ohio, Mr. Lamont G., and a visit with Mrs. Colbeth. These interviews, along with articles from local newspapers found in the library, disclose the almost forgotten but dramatic and poignant story of Alex Dravick, citizen soldier. So we will begin this history with what has been learned of Alex A. Dravick before World War II, follow with his well-documented heroism at Remagen, and then his life after the war. Alex Dravick was born in March 1911 and lived on the family farm on Wolfinger Road in western Lucas County, Ohio. The principal of his school, Mr. Matthew Reed, said in a press interview in 1955, "He was a big boy. Although he never once started a fight, lots of times I saw him beating up bullies who pestered the smaller kids. Once he got an idea, he never let up. That's why I'm not surprised about his heroism." Mr. Taransky summed it up when he said, "He was modest but fearless." Alex Dravick was living in Holland, Ohio, and working as a butcher at Folger's Meats when he joined the U.S. Army in 1942. He was sent to Fort Riley, Kansas, for basic training with the 9th Armored Division, the unit with which he would spend his entire enlistment. After basic training, his unit was sent on maneuvers to Louisiana and California. Very early on in his Army career, Sergeant Dravick distinguished himself by rescuing 120 recruits who had become lost in the California desert. Soon thereafter, he and his unit were sent to the European theater. We next hear of Sergeant Dravick at the Battle of the Bulge, where he was seriously wounded by artillery fire, but he would not be evacuated. He stayed with his men until the siege was lifted. The Battle of the Bulge was Adolf Hitler's last great counteroffensive. It was his attempt to stop the hard-driving American army and cut off their supply port in Antwerp, Belgium. When that failed, at great cost to both sides, The Americans continued their advance to the Rhine River and the German homeland. Hitler at first had denied his army's request to withdraw across the Rhine to set up defensive positions on the East Bank. When he finally conceded that men and equipment were being lost at an alarming rate, he allowed them to draw back, but directed that under penalty of death, all bridges must be destroyed after German forces had crossed. As the Americans advanced, each river crossed without a bridge came at great cost in time and men. Pontoon bridges had to be built while the enemy regrouped and set up defensive positions on the far bank. The Rhine River was the most formidable obstacle yet to face the Allies. It was wide, sometimes as much as a mile, with a swift current and high banks, from which the German forces could inflict great losses. Wherever the American forces came to the Rhine, they attempted to seize an intact bridge over which they could pour men, tanks, and artillery into the heart of Germany. They tried and failed to capture the Hohenzollern Bridge at Cologne. It was blown up just before they arrived. Another attempt was made at Dusseldorf, where the bridge was blown as the tanks entered the approach. A third attempt was made to capture the Adolf Hitler Bridge at Uerdingen. Again, it failed. All the bridges on the Rhine had been blown, save one. On March 7, 1945, the 9th Armored Division, under the command of General Hoag, arrived at the city of Remagen on the Rhine. From the high ground on the west bank, they were amazed to see that the Ludendorff Railroad Bridge was still standing. German forces were still retreating over the bridge, and they were awaiting a German artillery unit, which was due to arrive and cross shortly. So begins the story of the hero of Remagen. The bridge was already prepared for demolition when the Americans raced down to seize it. As they got to the approach, the bridge was blown. The explosion lifted the bridge, but miraculously it settled back on its foundations and was still intact. As the Germans hastily prepared for another demolition, a squad rushed onto the bridge, but they were pinned down by heavy fire from the east bank. It was then that a squad, with Sergeant Drabik in the lead, rushed onto the bridge, which was to be blown at any moment. It was said that he leaped up and yelled, "Who's coming with me?" Under heavy fire, Sergeant Drabik and his 10 men raced to the other side of the bridge, where they set up defensive positions. Thus, they prevented the Germans from a second attempt at destroying the bridge. It was typical of Sergeant Drabik that he doesn't remember shouting, "Who's coming with me?" Nor did he think he had done anything other than his duty. Of course, the rest of the American forces and the American public thought it was a special act of heroism. Two incidents that occurred bear comment. Shortly after Sergeant Drabik reached the east bank of the river, he captured a German soldier. But rather than send him back across the bridge in the heat of battle to an uncertain fate from an overzealous GI, he kept him with him. He had the German dig a foxhole for the two of them, where they spent the night. In the morning, he had the German escorted back over the bridge as a POW, thus certainly saving his life. The German soldier was to thank him many years later. The other incident occurred when General Hoag went across the bridge the next day and retrieved Sergeant Drabik's helmet, which he had lost during his mad dash across the bridge. He handed it to Sergeant Drabik as a sign of respect for his heroic deed. At this point, it's important to understand the significance of capturing the Ludendorff Bridge. From D-Day through France, The Allies had advanced steadily, but as they neared the borders of Germany, the resistance stiffened. Although the Allies were clearly winning the war, it was not without setbacks. Operation Market Garden, a combined American-British effort to breach the Rhine and the Netherlands, failed with casualties of 17,000. The Battle of the Bulge, a massive German counteroffensive, which Germany eventually lost, cost 80,000 American casualties. So the Americans were looking for something to energize their march to Berlin. The capture of the Remagen Bridge came at an opportune time to give them that lift. Once across the Rhine, the Americans could turn north to join in a move to encircle the Ruhr Valley, the industrial heart of the Third Reich. Now certainly Sergeant Drabik was not thinking of all of this when he made his heroic dash across the Main Bridge. But General Eisenhower immediately saw the value of that one heroic effort and how it changed the course of the war. He knew that crossing the Rhine without the bridge would have cost valuable time and many American lives. Instead, the engineers had the existing bridge ready to handle tanks and heavy vehicles in just 2 hours. Aside from the military value, it was a wonderful morale booster for the weary Americans and a serious blow to German morale. The Rhine, not crossed by an invader since Napoleon, had long been considered by the Allies as the last great barrier to the heart of Germany. In the months of planning, no one seriously counted on the possibility of seizing a bridge intact. That would be too fantastic. So said the great World War historian John Tolan. Historian Stephen Ambrose said it was one of the great victories in the Army's history. And he said the Ludendorff Bridge was suddenly the most critical strategic spot in Europe. Author Ken Hetchler, an official Army historian who was there at the time, said it broke the back of the German resistance. Nothing since the July 20th attempt on his life had infuriated Hitler so much as the capture of the bridge at Remagen, said John Tolan. He realized that he had lost his last natural defense. A comment by Hermann Goering, Hitler's second in command, further explains the far-reaching effect wrought by Sergeant Drabik's heroic deed. He said, "It made a long Rhine defense impossible and upset our entire defense scheme along the river. The Rhine was badly protected between Mainz and Mannheim as a result of bringing reserves to the Remagen bridgehead. All this was very hard on Hitler." So angry was Hitler that he fired Field Marshal von Rundstedt, who was in charge of the armies in the West, and he had five officers who were at Remagen tried and condemned to death. He called for frogmen to destroy the bridge and had Stuka dive bombers attack, all to no avail. As for the Americans, they were elated. General Eisenhower, in his book, Crusade in Europe, said, "That was one of my happy moments of the war." He was in later years, as we shall see, to honor Sergeant Drabik at the White House. He said that Sergeant Drabik's heroism had saved as many as 50,000 lives and shortened the war by 2 months. Hitler's rage and Eisenhower's elation were well-founded. By March 8th, the East Bank at Remagen was secured, and at General Omar Bradley's orders, 5 divisions and 2,500 vehicles, including tanks, crossed the Ludendorff Bridge in the next 7 days. A sign was posted at the west entrance to the bridge. It read, "Cross the Rhine with dry feet, courtesy of the 9th Armored Division." An eyewitness at Remagen was Mr. Lamont G. of Sylvania, Ohio. He was there with the 988th Treadway Bridge Company of the 7th Engineer Corps. They had built their first bridge at Carentan in Normandy and were to build their last bridge at the Mulda River, where they met up with the Russians. While the Ludendorff Bridge was being used, the 988th was building in just 20 hours the first Treadway Bridge across the Rhine. It was 1,176 feet long and was capable of handling any and all size of equipment. The Ludendorff Bridge stood for 10 days and finally collapsed. But by that time, three pontoon bridges had been built. The bridge had served its purpose. It had altered the course of the war, and it no doubt convinced the German soldier that the war in the West was indeed lost, because they began surrendering by the thousands. Seven divisions were eventually sent across the Rhine at Remagen. They turned north and joined the U.S. 9th Army in a giant pincers movement that captured the Ruhr Valley, much of the industrial capacity of Germany, and almost 400,000 POWs. So the reason to mention all of this is to point out the far-reaching effect of one single act of heroism in the course of the war. And it explains why Sergeant Drabik was recognized as one of the great heroes of World War II. For their heroism, Sergeant Drabik and his men were each awarded the Distinguished Service Cross. The Distinguished Service Cross is second only to the nation's highest honor, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Years later, the German officer, Captain Friesenhahn, who was attempting to blow the bridge and who had survived Hitler's wrath, was told that Sergeant Drabik and his men had received the Distinguished Service Cross. He replied, "They certainly deserved it. They saw us trying to blow up the bridge, and by all odds, it should have blown up while they were crossing it. In my mind, they are the greatest heroes in the whole war." 2 months later, the war in Europe was over. Sergeant Drabik was discharged on October 12, 1945, after 3 years and 20 days in the Army. He returned to the Toledo area. He married and lived at 8765 Door Street with his wife Margaret and their daughter Rita. He went back to work as a butcher for Folger's Meats and wanted to live a quiet life with his family. As his great-nephew Greg Drabik put it, he was raised a farm boy and lived his life as a farm boy. But that was not to be. Although a reluctant hero, the modest Alex Drabik was not only one of Ohio's great war heroes, but it was a national war hero as well, and that carried certain obligations with it. March 7th, 1955, was the 10th anniversary of the capture of the Remagen Bridge. To commemorate that occasion, Alex Drabik and his squad were invited by President Eisenhower to the White House. The President announced the formation of the Society of the Remagen Bridgehead. Mr. Drabik was given a picture of the Remagen Bridge that depicted the action of March 7, 1945. The inscription read, "In commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the seizure of the bridge at Remagen." On March 7, 1945, by the 9th Armored Division. This pictorial of the occasion is presented on behalf of the U.S. Army to Sergeant Alex Drabik, who was awarded the Distinguished Service Cross for his heroic participation in that historic operation. On that occasion, the President said that no one thought it could be done, and he said it typified the dash of ingenuity, the readiness of the first opportunity that characterizes the American soldier. Ken Hetzler, the Army historian, wrote the book, The Bridge at Remagen. the first copy of which was given to Alex Trebek to deliver to President Eisenhower at the White House. 2 years later, the Toledo Blade reported that Mr. Trebek was again in Washington, D.C. for a reunion of the Society of the Remagen Bridgehead. In 1970, Mr. Trebek was again invited to the White House, this time by President Nixon, for the 25th anniversary of Remagen. That year, Alex Trebek was elected commander of the Taransky Van Glan VFW Post 7372, a position he held for 7 years. The post name was soon changed to the Remagen Bridge Post in honor of Mr. Drayton. That same year, he was invited to Washington to view a Hollywood war film about the bridge at Remagen. Although honored to be invited, he was unhappy with the Hollywood version. On the 40th anniversary trip back to Remagen, Mr. Trebek met up with the German soldier whose life he had saved on March 7, 1945. The man was there especially to express his gratitude to Mr. Trebek. He said, "If it were not for you, I wouldn't be here today." It seemed that Sergeant Trebek, hero of Remagen, was not to be forgotten. But then on September 28, 1993, it all suddenly ended. Alex Trebek was on his way to a meeting in Kansas City when he was killed in an automobile accident in Columbia, Missouri. He was returned to Toledo and buried in Resurrection Cemetery next to his wife, Margaret, who had died in January of 1993. His sole survivor was his daughter, Mrs. Rita Wilson of Kenton, Ohio. When reached in Kenton, Mrs. Wilson expressed great affection for her father, as did all who knew him. She agreed with his friends that her father was a very modest man who would never talk about the war unless prodded. She has a wall in her house devoted to her father. It has that picture of Remagen that President Eisenhower gave to him in 1955. Other pictures of Remagen and the bridge, a picture of Sergeant Trebek receiving the Distinguished Service Cross, and various news articles about him. In 1995, she represented her deceased father at the 50th anniversary in Remagen, where she presented a memorial wreath. She said that he was still remembered there with great respect by Americans and Germans alike. She said that there had been a movement to have Congress award Sergeant Trebek the Medal of Honor. Those involved in that effort believed very strongly that Sergeant Trebek's heroism was worthy of the nation's highest honor. Not only was his an act of extreme heroism, but it had such a profound effect on the course of the war that a Medal of Honor seemed appropriate. As one reads and learns about Sergeant Trebek, their efforts on his behalf seem to have merit. When asked for some final comments about her father, Mrs. Wilson said she still misses him very much and finds comfort in playing audio tapes of his talks. Sadly, she said, few people recognize the name of Alex Trebek anymore. Almost no one in Kenton, Ohio knows that she is Alex Trebek's daughter or who Alex Trebek was. The man once honored by generals and presidents is all but forgotten. Finally, there was a discussion with Mrs. Carol Colbeth, who had first brought Sergeant Trebek to the attention of the Veterans History Project. She talked about the post-war life of Mr. Trebek. She and her now deceased husband, Raymond Ott, knew Mr. Trebek in the last years of his life through the VFW and through the church that both attended. She would see him most Sundays, sitting alone in a back pew, speaking to no one unless spoken to. She said that she would make a special effort to greet him, which he would shyly acknowledge. She said that he was very active in the VFW and the American Legion. He regularly participated in the Sylvania, Ohio Memorial Day Parade, and one year was named the Grand Marshal. She and her husband would meet him at VFW events, particularly at the annual Memorial Day dinner. She would sit with him and engage him in conversation because, as she said, he looked so lonely. It was obvious, as she spoke, that she, too, had great affection for Mr. Drake. When asked why, she replied, "He was always a gentleman and a gentle person. He never bragged and never spoke of the war unless in response to direct questions." Was this the man who generals and historians said had affected the course of the war? Was this the man who was honored by presidents? He was an unlikely hero, to be sure. Everyone agreed that he was shy, modest, and retiring. But history records for us that when called upon, he was an exceedingly courageous man. He was, as his old friend said, modest but fearless. He was an American hero.